This is the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Hey everybody, Jason Cutter here. Welcome to the third part of my conversation with Nalani Gruhl. If you didn't catch out part one and part two, shame on you. Go back, listen to those, then come back to this one, wherever you're finding this on the podcast, on YouTube, wherever. Make sure to check out those first two parts, primarily because there's a lot of value in there. Secondary, great conversation, so much stuff. Nalani has been amazing sharing her perspective. So what's different for her than the other guests that I've had on this season so far is that she was a student at University of Houston, then went into their sales program, then went to work for their sales program in working with the students, and then also in marketing. She's done sales through the program, and then she graduated and got a job with one of the university's clients that she helped sell to at one point. And so now she's in the sales force. So she went from non-business, non-sales student through the program into the world of sales, never even realizing or thinking that she would get into that. So she has this interesting perspective of inside and outside of all of it. So super excited to have you here, Nalani. Welcome to part three. Let's talk about the future of sales.
Let's talk about the future of sales.
Now, what I will say is that most of my guests have a lot of experience in sales, right? So I'll talk to a professor who's, you know, maybe they sold for 25 years before getting into education, and then now they're doing that, right? So there's a lot of like past and what happened and how you sold before the internet versus now. You're a little bit different of a category of guests because you're just now entering the sales world and you're in your first official, you know, let's say outside of the school SDR role going into sales. So for you, it's really about what are you seeing now? What are you looking forward to? When you look at that, right? And you look at what you learned in school, because that was even just, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago versus now, where a lot has changed as well. Like, where do you see what you thought sales involved? And then what is it including now in like, let's say partly in technology, but also in what buyers are looking for in that evolution?
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. Technology. When I went through the sales program, it was like 2018. So it's a few years ago now. And we had just started our digital selling curriculum. Like it just became a mandatory class. And so I think my semester was like the second semester we had it as a mandatory class, or maybe it was the first as mandatory and it was optional before. And, we were all trained on Salesforce, which is awesome product. I mean, you're going to use it at half the companies you work at, probably if you're in sales, and if not, you're going to use something really similar. So it's a great baseline to build on. And then we started like really leveraging like LinkedIn pretty heavy. But even now, looking at the sales program and the tools they have the students using, like now they have Zoom Info that they can use and Sales Navigator and different tools like that. And we didn't even do that when I was a student. And so now I'm getting into like the sales world and leveraging so many tools. Like we use Outreach, we use Salesforce, we use Qualified, we like all these different tools I never even knew what they were, and building out this new process. And so I definitely see like the tools and the arsenal available to salespeople growing, but it's also just because you have good tools doesn't mean you have a good sales process. So the tools aren't everything, I will say. Like having a good foundation and building out that sales process really does matter. The tools can just help you get there. And then the buyers. So like, how do I, oh, sorry, did I too fast?
No, okay. Please go for it. Keep going.
The buyers changing. This is kind of cool. So, I mean, I started in the sales program before the pandemic, and then I was like working as a student worker during the pandemic. And then I became a program manager, and just like the way that sales has changed and the amount of time that I've been around it is drastic. I mean, now for the most part, if you're in sales, you can work from home. And like, if you're in tech sales, like me, like we all work remote, basically. Like, even if I'm not in, I support the East Coast, I'm in Houston, Texas, but I don't have to physically be in the East Coast. And so, a lot of the sales reps too, aren't actually physically in their territories anymore because you don't have to go in and meet those customers right then and there. Sometimes you'll fly out and stuff. And some jobs, like if you're in more like, pharmaceutical sales and stuff, you do need to be where you are, but that's like a big change that's happening too. For the buyers, I see the buyers changing, especially in this current economy, a lot. And just the way that I'm looking at people when I'm prospecting, they're going to be a lot more frugal, a lot more reserved when it comes to like spending money right now. And so that's something that we have to be ready for to one, talk about and just anticipate those objections are coming. But two, like the way that we sell and who we're reaching out to changes as well. So the way that we sell is always going to be led with that value of, luckily for us, we're pretty like we can cost optimize a lot. And so we lead with that a lot now. Whereas before that wasn't always the value that people wanted to hear about first. Now it's something that I don't think that we can win without. And the other thing is like a lot more, they're changing the roles of people to involve like there's like data and analytics people that are focused on like cost optimization. So they'll have like FinServe in their title or stuff like that. And I think that those are really important people that you have to realize are going to be a part of your sales process now that maybe weren't before. Or I read an article the other day that was talking about how like from now on, you will be selling to the CFO and there's no way around it because companies are really tightening their purse strings. And you see that in all the layoffs that are happening too.
Yeah. And that makes sense, right? Is partially understanding the economy, right? And how buyers have changed or how the conversations change and being understanding of what a company is going to do when you present them with what you think is an amazing solution and who is going to be the one who wants it and who's going to be the one who approves and pays for it. I think with the economy changing like it has over the last few years, that's always important. I think that's always like an evolution and companies changing. I mean, it wasn't too long ago that CRO wasn't a title and then it became something in tech and now it's more widespread. Chief Revenue Officer trying to tie these departments together. And so you've got to always understand that and look at that and be mindful of that. I also love what you said about the tools that you had and what you were given and what you went through in school and then now what people are getting trained on, exposed to, and then what you saw when you get out there. What are you seeing like for various people, let's say that you see in sales roles where they don't have that background, they're kind of thrown in and they have to learn the tech or they don't have exposure to CRMs and automation and, you know, databases?
Yeah, I think that's a good one because learning CRM is not easy. Like, I feel like that's one of the areas that a lot of people struggle with the most. And when companies are implementing CRMs or new CRMs, it's hard for them to get the buy-in from the salespeople. They don't always recognize the value that it brings either. And because of that, it's underutilized and then they'll never see the value. And so I think that those are two big things to call out. But the other thing is that when people don't have like a formal sales training alongside being handed these tools and just being taught about their product, they rely on the tools too much and they stop thinking for themselves or they get into those really automated like emails that you're probably going to scan and just keep going because it sounds like a robot sent to you. And so I think that, like I said before, like the tools matter, but even more so having that foundation on sales matters because you can't really do what you do without it effectively anyways.
Yeah. And I had mentioned that in part one where, you know, people who rely too much on automation, they want to scale or they just want to be as efficient as possible. Now, here's a question. Obviously, because you're in a younger generation than myself and you're in a generation essentially born with technology without knowing your exact age. Like I pretty much guess that you've always had technology available, internet, everything like that. Where does that help you? And, or where do you sometimes default to just wanting to rely on the internet versus let's say phone calls, the other part, and, or where do you see other people in your generation, coworkers, other students kind of go through that balance?
Yeah, I think that because we did grow up with technology, it's a lot easier for us to do a lot of that research on our own. And so we don't always want somebody to talk to us while we're doing it. Like we kind of like to be on our own and figure it out. And I think that that's been something that's been upwards trending too for a few years now is that people have been doing more research on their own. and then reaching out when they have a better idea or understanding of like what they actually want. So you're coming in more towards the end of the sales process. About like the different channels. One thing that we preach a lot is like the power of multi-threading, because a lot of people think that people my age don't like phone calls and they just want to like keep it via email or like LinkedIn, which I will respond to you on LinkedIn. I probably won't respond to your emails personally. But a lot of times I want to just talk to somebody. And I think that that's the power of multi-threading, because if you were to ask me and my three best friends how we like to communicate, they're going to be different answers. Like one of us will say texting. I hate texting. Do not text me. But like you can call me and I'll probably answer your phone call and talk to you. Or somebody else may say they love to talk to you on LinkedIn and that's the only way they're going to respond. So the power of multi-threading is that you have no idea and it doesn't matter your age. Everybody prefers something different. So that's why the importance is to tie all three of them together, hit them on every channel, and then you'll see where you find the traction.
And I'm going to reiterate it because it is so important. Again, it's not generational, it's personality. Like if anybody calls me, even though it's what I help people with all the time is the phone calls. If somebody calls me and I don't know who you are, I'm not answering it. Like my personality type is I don't want to deal with it, and or I'm busy and it's a distraction, right? If you want to, we can set something up. So it's not even a generational thing. It's a personality thing where, you know, it's up to that person. So I love what you're saying about the multi-threading. When it comes to the kind of the future of sales from a tech side, what are you most excited about that's in place now that you're using or that, you know, you see coming or you hear people talking about?
That's a good question. I feel like
what do you wish somebody would invent in the future of the sales tech? How about that?
I always tell people I don't know how they let me into tech sales because I fight technology. Like I never use it. Like I haven't updated my phone and I can't tell you how long. I actually reached out to IT and I was like, I'm having an issue with my internet. It keeps closing out. They're like, Nalani, did you update it? And I was like, you can update your internet? What are you doing here? I'm like, I have no idea. Like honestly. So I fight pretty hard against utilizing technology to its full advantage. The tool I'm most excited about, there's probably a couple. So outreach, I love outreach. And if you're fighting against using outreach, please stop because it is like the best thing ever. If you don't know what it is or you've never used it, basically it's just a tool that automates the sales process for you slightly. So what I mean by that is you can add people into what's called a sequence that just lays out every step you're going to touch this person on. So whether it's phone calls, emails, LinkedIn messages, and it lays it out through a period of time so that I don't have to think about it anymore. I add them to the sequence. I can customize it all up front to fit this one person. And then it leaves the back of my mind and it'll pop up every day with what task I need to do for them next. And there's like left brain people that are very organized and right brain people that are very creative. I am of the right brain, which means I am not naturally organized. So if I were to email somebody one time, likelihood I'm going to remember to call them in 3 days is very slim. But with outreach, I don't have to do any of that. So I love that. It's like my bread and butter. another tool that I think is really cool and I use a lot, it's not direct sales, but it's called Glean. And it's basically like an internal Google. I think a lot of salespeople don't always use their assets to their full abilities. So anytime I'm looking for something to send a customer, looking for extra assets, I can just go in and Google or glean it. We call it glean. It's glean it. And it'll pull it up from any of our like Salesforce, we use Gmail. So anything from our Gmail suite, anything from any articles we've posted, anything from our website, it scans all of it and brings it all up like you're Googling. It's so cool. Makes my life easy.
I love it. I think that's so important. Most salespeople act like they're in a bubble or think they have to know everything, think they're not supposed to know everything. Or you get the group that's like very private and they don't want to share anything they know because for some reason they think, you know, there's a scarcity on info in sales. And then there's just, you want to know and you want to get help, but like, how do you get it? So I love that tool. We'll put the link for that in the show notes. I never heard of that, but that sounds like an amazing way to, you know, get access to the inherent information and knowledge within an organization. I think that's great. When you look at the future of sales for buyers, right? So obviously we have this economic time, we're recording this in March, 2023. you know, which is what we were alluding to when you were mentioning earlier with, you know, how buyers have changed and companies reorg and, you know, dealing with the CFO. But even more than that, like the future of what buyers want right now or in the future, what do you think they're going to want more of? What do you think they're going to want less of from a salesperson?
Yeah, I think it's trending and like sales is becoming a little bit too salesy and the way that people are outreaching a lot and like less of that customization and more of those just automated emails. Cause now we have the tools we can automate and everybody wants to, but there's also a tap to it as well. And I think that's something we talk about a lot in our company is like, my global director, Marissa, will show us her inbox or my CRO will and be like, look at all these emails I got. Look at all of these that sound exactly the same. And they all start with I noticed, I saw this. It's never about them. So I think that more and more people are going to want you to appeal to them and like acknowledge that they are a real human and have that level of personalization. And I think that they want that sales process. I think this is going to continue to stay true. I don't think it'll ever change, but they want it to be about them. Like they want you to ask questions. They want you to understand what their problem is. They may not always come out and say it. And a lot of times, like, I feel like people shut sales down right away, but the more you can get them, the more you can show them you're there to actually ask those questions and understand, the more likely they are to open up. And I think that that's something that's never going to go away. So I think moving forward, they're going to want less of the automated outreach, more customized, more personalized to them and tailored. And they want you to know what their problems are and to solve those.
Got it. I love it. And what's interesting is I think that's always been the case. It's always been what people wanted, but they didn't know they could demand that or not work with people who didn't give them that sales experience. And I think people are realizing, like, wait a second. There's enough competition out there. I can pick who I want to work with and what I want to tolerate and what I don't want to tolerate. I also have that same inbox issue where I go through and I, if anyone's listening or watching this, please stop the, hey, first name, haha, just kidding. I know your name is Jason. Like everyone's using that same template. So gross. Please stop. Please be original.
I've never seen that one.
Oh my gosh. It's so, and the first time I saw it, I was like, wow, you really broke your automation. And then I realized they're trying to be funny and they got my attention, but they didn't get it in a way that made me happy. And then I've seen it dozens of times from different people all copying that same thing. Just because somebody does something doesn't mean it works. Doesn't mean it should be copied. Right? Like that's the biggest thing. And again, I love what you said about appealing to people. What do they want? Making it about them. It's got to be about them. What are they looking for? How can you help them? Last question on this. What do you see as being in this now and of a tech generation, things like AI and where you think that will fit in to help or hurt sales?
I feel like it's something that a lot of companies are focused on is like across the board and everything, including sales, is adding and implementing more AI because you can see like if it's automated, it's less time that a SDR or an AE has to spend on it. I think some of that's good. And I would be lying if I said I had zero automation in any of my sales processes. I definitely do. But where I see it becoming a bad thing is when people start talking about like, oh, well, if we have this happen, like you don't need the salesperson to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that the sales profession will ever go away. You'll never have a moment in time where you don't need to actually have a physical person in the sales role because a computer can never truly understand. A computer can't place the value in sales like a person can, and they can't relate to that person like a person can. So I think that the danger line is when you start overcompensating with AI too much, that's when you get into those messages that people are going to start ignoring. You kind of tarnishes your brand a little bit as well.
Yeah. And it's like what you said as well with like the technology, the tools, the sales enablement, right? Like having it is good. You got to know how to use it and when the right time to use it. It's the right time for automation. No matter what you're doing, like there's times where that just helps you scale or do follow-ups or like you said, even having technology like outreach where it's just giving you a sequence and telling you, okay, today you need to do this with this group of people and then AI helping you in certain ways. And then you're right. I mean, when you're talking about a considered purchase, people will always want to get help and support and guidance from a real human. If not, then they could just order online and they don't even need you, which means your product is not that complicated, which for some things, it will be replaced by robots and chatbots selling for you. If what you're selling is just a transaction commodity, let's say even like what we talked about before, your career fair booths or golf tournament stuff. It's like, well, you know, if you really need a person for that, if they get even a little bit better, probably not.
One other thing that you just mentioned was like the support after the sale. I think that's something that buyers expect a lot more too. Something that's trending is people want that extra support and they want to know that, especially in like I sell a service, that that service is going to be easily adoptable for their teams. Otherwise, they're not going to buy it. Sorry, you just mentioned it. And I was like, oh, that's a big like trending upward thing. They need that support.
It's so true. And what's interesting is that's always been the case. But again, what companies do versus what buyers want and then what buyers will tolerate versus won't tolerate. That's the big thing is that the sales never stops, right? Like you might finish your part as an SDR to get that appointment, but that person still has to show up for the appointment. And then that's just the next step in the process. That AE has to do their job and help somebody, you know, become a client. But that doesn't stop there. Like that person has to be re-enrolled and resold constantly in order to onboard, to move forward, to want to be a part of it, to use the technology. So many people I see, like they're in sales, they think the sale stops once the payment's made, then they move on. The company thinks it's over. And that's literally just the beginning of the relationship.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of like you said about the, you know, first day and people not thinking they're in sales versus, you know, have you ever, you know, gone on a date with somebody and you know, that kind of mode, it's like, you know, getting that first date, that's just when it begins, right? Like that doesn't mean the whole thing is done. Like it's over. You're just beginning the process. So it's funny to think about that. So as we wrap this up, for people who want to reach out to you, I know I mentioned LinkedIn. You said LinkedIn is a good place for you. Obviously, if anyone knows you personally, don't text you, call you if they have anything they want to chat with you about. For the company you work for, we didn't really mention it this time, but it'll be in the show notes, Starburst Data. And again, it's not a paid product placement. This isn't sponsored by them. I just love the stuff that you said about the company and the leadership and the characteristics of people they're looking for, you know, that they value more than experience. And I always love supporting that. And people who appreciate, you know, someone who's gone through some schooling and got some training and then putting them into an environment where they can do what they do best. So that's the only reason I mentioned that, because it sounds amazing. And I want to support more companies who see sales as the a profession and the value side, instead of just, you know, selling, like I say all the time, selling crap that the world doesn't need and trying to do it at scale. So I appreciate that. Neilani, again, thank you for being on here. Thank you for 3 conversations, 3 episodes, all your time and energy. You've been amazing. Thanks for being here.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
It was so fun. I enjoyed it. Wrapping up this third part here. Thank you everyone for tuning in. I know that anyone watching and listening to this, you caught all 3 segments. Please take this value with you. Take something from these conversations. I firmly believe that there is a reason you found this episode, videos, sound bites, clips. Maybe you're watching clips of this on LinkedIn and that led you to here. Like it all happens for a reason. There's something in here to help you with your sales career, with your leadership of the salespeople have on your team. Maybe you run a sales program and you're getting some things from this to see how to help your students be better in sales and give the world what they need. And I appreciate Leilani being on this journey with me and sharing all this stuff. It's been amazing. And until next time, thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.